Well, folks, I'm off to the south. I'm off to the south coast. I'm here about to get into the Newcastle Central Station. I'm going to go for RIL meetups on the south coast there. And before I'm going, I'm just admiring this very nice, I think it's Gothic spire here, going right up into the heavens, infinite space and towards the eternal. But me adventures are going to take us through London, through the heart of darkness itself. So let's just see if that has actually happened. Let's just see how in London, if we have actually ventured up into infinite space and the eternal, or has it turned into something else. So I think I'll do a few hot takes on my travels. Might make for an amusing video. Just noticed that gigantic complex of little apartments, these little units. I think they're calling them pods or something. And when I look at it, I think, would you really rather live in one of those? There must be about 10,000 of these little cubicles that they're stuffing people into. And would you really like leave the hills of Pakistan to wander around on inside of one of those little boxes? Would you not rather have the soil and under your feet with like 10 goats and like at least have your soul? Because I guess that's what these things are for. There'll be a few white people in there, but mainly I've got a feeling it's for like the expanding immigrant population on the south of the town. And then they'll ship them into services. They'll be working in McDonald's and stamping letters or something. And then they get them shipped into these little pod cubicles to live in. And why would you not rather just stay in Pakistan? I don't understand that. It's pretty depressing because it means the motivating force of all humanity is to just sit and consume. Well, folks, I've arrived in Mordor. Infinite space is there, the spires are there, but they're not going up to the heavens anymore. They're going up to the banks and they're worshipping money. Let's pop outside and see how bad this shithole gets, eh? I suppose it's easy for somebody like me to come in from outside and snark at London. It's, you know, just take the piss out of it. The fact is, I don't hate London because it's a dysfunctional madhouse. Because it isn't. I actually hate London because it works, it functions. It isn't a madhouse. And that's what makes it so terrifying, because it's the most sophisticated form of enslavement that you can ever imagine. It's just unbelievable. Whatever your values are, wherever you're from, London will process it like this hyper efficient machine. He has all values and all spirituality, all identities will be ground down and end up working in an off license on the corner. And there's some fellas over there, I don't know what they are, preaching some sort of Islamic converts or whatever. But the fact is that London's not scared of that either. They may well be Islamic reactionaries, but all of their families will end up in McDonald's, serving Big Macs and flipping burgers. Everything will be ground down. Everything will be sucked into the great gaping maw of neoliberalism. This is why I hate London. It's not because it's some weak basket case lunatic asylum. It's because it works. It actually functions. But whatever its weaknesses, when it can just absorb anything, and this goes for all of the metropolises at the heart of Western civilization. Well, what you do find is that when you look at it, I think, and you look at everything so frantic, everybody's looking around, everybody's running around, and everybody is being processed to get from one place to another. And you think, what's the point of it all? Everybody is in that state of becoming, they're all going from one place to another. Nobody actually is. And it goes for the whole city, even if you're sitting at home, I would imagine. And so you end up thinking, just what is the point of it all? Where does all this lead? What is its purpose? And it doesn't have one. It's just to perpetuate itself. It's just like a black hole, sucking more asteroids and more matter into itself in order to perpetuate itself, to stop itself from just evaporating into nothing. Let's carry on. See you later, folks. Victoria Palace. Not looking very royal now, is it? Now you see who's boss. Now you see who holds the purse strings. Well, it's supposed to be a train station around here somewhere, but I can't find it because of all the brands. Past the shitholes of London, the Croydon star baby. You get out into the real English shires like this, they've managed to white flight themselves away from the diversity and decamped here. And it's that there's a duality to England. On the one hand, there's the Anglo-liberal of the merchant class and turning the world into a giant factory. And then you've also got both the Englishman at home, and he lives out in places like this, out in these rustic shires. And I just wonder how he's going to react when the Croydon star baby appears on his on the side of his local church. Has it already? How long has it got left? How long has he got left? Well, here I am on the South Downs. I got through the hell of London, and you come out on the other side and I can get right into the heart of the shires of England here. Look at this, isn't this absolutely spectacular? It's a bit like Northumberland, except they've got money. But I do hope it stays like this for a long time. And it's interesting to see the locals, you know, I watched the documentary and you think, how can these people not be nationalists? How can they not want to hold on to this and formulate the arguments to do it as well, instead of kind of just meekly accepting it, meekly accepting the pods which are on the way, or the sprawl of London. Make a stand. Look at this, man, this is absolutely beautiful. Anybody or anything that tells you to concrete over this or turn it into a supermarket, turn it into tower blocks of pods, tell them to get fucked. You have to protect places like this forever, and the people that's on it as well. Let's see what else happens there. See in a bit. Look at this. This tree is one of the oldest trees in Europe. It's about 3,000 years old. And if you start at the bottom and you can see the story, I think we can compare it to European civilization and the story of Faustian man. And you can see that it goes up. And if you imagine yourself as an ant on the tree trunk, you'd only have ever known the tree. So that's your whole frame of reference, and you can follow it as a storyline. And all of these different branches and all of these different tentacles which are coming off it are part of that story. And I think what's happened to us now is that the branch here has just become too dominant, and the main drift of it all has been forgotten about, and we've ended up going down into the dirt in what Jacques Deleuze would call a rhizome, and we're down over there somewhere. And I would say that was probably classic liberalism there, which splinters off from Western civilization as a whole and then goes down into this splintered mess here. And this is where we find ourselves. This is where we're stuck on right now. And it's trying to find whether we can get back onto the main tree, which would be the traditionalist take on it, or whether through this chaos a new main trunk can come up and propel us onwards, a completely new form, which is something that's on my mind a lot. But in any case, we're not, absolutely not, on the main tree anymore in modernity. We've taken a wrong turn. And we've ended up down in the dirt. And so I think the Oswald Spengler's look at it, which I'll talk about again in the future, is the tree, the life cycle of the tree or the plant, which was a German thing. And here is postmodernism, Deleuze, which comes away from the main splintering of liberalism, and very quickly heads down into the dirt for this chaotic mess, which I think we'll get into again in the future. But what a place to be, 2,000 years. And they say that the Vikings were slaughtered here, and the tree has this red tint to it because of the Vikings' blood going into the soil. And so, again, for the people around at the time, that would have been an actual fact. They would have seen that as a fact, that the tree was red because it had Viking blood in it. And that, like everything else, has been gone away with. But just that little story says a lot about the people that were around at the time, because that would have been their whole world picture. But as part of this tree, an earlier stage of it. And then we rationalised everything. We left the main tree, and then rationalism broke down, relativism set in, and you ended up with this chaotic mess with no more form at all. Very interesting stuff.
Well, everybody, there you have it. England lives.